The Lord's been very gracious to us. And even though things happen unexpectedly to us, there are certainly no unexpected things with God. And it did shake me up a little when Dan, I knew they was taking him to the hospital. We've been friends in the Lord for a long, long time. And I thought, well, I'll never be able to get up and preach. And I thought, well, I can't preach anyway, so it doesn't make much difference. But I really appreciate Brother Newell. He brought a great message, and that helped me immensely as far as getting up here is concerned. I would disagree just a little bit on the fact that, was it you that said that preaching is easy? Yes, you did. Didn't you? Well, I disagree with you on that. I'll tell you why. Whenever you're going to preach on Sunday afternoon, everybody else has preached except three of us. It's not easy. So we're going to put you last next time. I meant to tell Brother Hobbs to remind me when I had 5 minutes over. But he left, so I don't get it. Brother Malo has just killed everything. Where is he? Oh, there. He was telling everybody how great I was and how I could preach. And I said, Brother Malo, I wish you wouldn't have even come. But somebody else said I was to maybe hit a home run or something, but I forgot to bring my baseball bat, so that's out. But I do want to praise the Lord and thank Him, and I wish we could join together as we magnify Him. That's really why we're here, and we have some very serious things to think about, and I don't mean to be frivolous, but we surely need to remember to pray for Dan and praise God he's better, and want to pray for the Green family and their loss, and want to pray for others, and especially Brother, isn't that awful, sister? Brother, one that couldn't come, Leninger. Forgive me, Brother Leninger. But pray for him. And then my sister, her grandson, who's 17 years old, was found dead in Florida. And we don't know exactly what happened, but it's very, very serious. And I thought about the young folks here today. And I thought about we really need to pray for our young people. It is a critical age that we live in. And I thank God for these young people and pray the Lord will help them as they face this life to realize that we need the grace of God and the greatness of God to depend on. So you pray concerning that. They're having a memorial service this afternoon, and my sister cannot go because she's on oxygen and very, very sick. So it's really hard on her. So pray the Lord to intervene. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Maybe it's a little unusual text to preach on irresistible grace. And I was thankful that we sang Amazing Grace. And I love Wonderful Grace of Jesus, grace that is greater than all our sins. And how can my praise begin? And we're grateful for that because we do have a God of all grace and all mercy. A God who loves His people and who has promised many things in this life. So we want to think about irresistible grace. Now, a lot of people have taken off the IR and they believe in resistible grace. But I believe in irresistible grace. If it hadn't been for that, there would be no salvation. There would be no way to be saved. But in this fourth chapter, it tells about the second coming of Christ. And I read in verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And I thought, how wonderful that is. Irresistible grace. When the Lord comes back, He's just going to call and up we go. Now, a lot of people believe, undoubtedly, don't believe in irresistible grace. They believe you take the first jump to start up. Yeah. They believe in irresistible grace when it comes to this call, but they don't believe in irresistible grace when it comes to the call unto salvation. And so I want you to know today that there is an irresistible call by the God of all grace. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen you. Then in verse 12, by Silvanus, the faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Now, I hope today that you have your anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ, the true grace of God, and not depend on man-made religions or man-made ways of salvation and so forth. There is the God of all grace, and that God has all power both in heaven and earth. That God is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to keep. He's able to supply. He's able to make everything work together for good. And I'm glad today that we have the God of all grace that loves His people again with an everlasting love. In the book of 2 Corinthians, and I really did need these things today as we think about what's taking place. And that last song, I tell you what, I almost forgot I was supposed to preach, and that's hard for me to do. But I enjoyed that, and singing of again Amazing Grace. Thank God for those songs that magnify the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. And He said unto me, I like the personal God that deals with each one of us. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So God's grace is all sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Now, beloved, the grace of God is a tremendous, wonderful, amazing thing to study about. And I'm glad today that when you think about the tulip doctrine, and I don't know what flower they use to describe theirs, but I tell you what, I believe in the tulip, a way of salvation, and thank God for it. So we have the God of all grace, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Ephesians 2 and verse 7. Chapter 1. I got Philippians. It is chapter 2, verse 7, but you got to get in the right book. Aren't you glad God's taking control? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So today we need to think about irresistible grace. We need to think about not only total depravity, which demands irresistible grace. Lazarus did not call on God in the tomb, and then God raised him. As somebody said, he didn't knock on the door. He just shouted, and he came forth. Beloved, the same God that called Lazarus from the grave is the same God that calls us from being dead in trespasses and sins. You must have it, or you will never have a complete salvation. Now, I was pondering the awfulness of being lost. We need to understand being lost and the blessedness of being saved. I remember when I was a child, young fella, wasn't very old. That's hard for you to believe, but I was a child and I was a young person once. And anyway, But I went berry picking. And I was by myself. And I was picking berries and got the berries picked and had two or three buckets full. And I just wandered around and saw berries on the other side of the hill. Went over there, and you've heard this before. But it suddenly dawned on me the reality of it. God made it real to me. And all of a sudden, I realized I was lost. I was just young. I just wandered around happy as a lark. I didn't know I was lost. I had no idea. Somebody come along and say, "You lost?" Well, no, I'm not lost. What do you mean I'm not lost? I don't need to be found. I'm lost. And I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, as I wandered around in that condition, I heard a voice. Yes! I heard a voice. Were you told that? I really was glad to hear that voice. That wouldn't have meant much if I wasn't lost, but I was lost, and I heard somebody. And I thought, they can help me. And sure enough, when I went towards that voice, I saw the road that led to home. Man, was I happy about that. I was lost, and I was found. Beloved, irresistible grace does that for you. No lost sinner wants to be saved. No lost sinner is seeking God. No lost sinner knows he's even lost. But I want to tell you, when God wakes you up, you're looking for something. When I was saved, I really wanted to be saved.
Yeah, that's right.
I wanted to be saved. I remember, I'm getting two things mixed up here together, but I remember, and I also prayed that I might have Malo's. If he just give me his voice, I could rush through this. but he didn't do that. But let me finish this other part, and I'll get to the other. But there was another time when I went fishing. I spent a lot of time wandering around. didn't believe much in working, but fishing and picking berries wouldn't work because I wasn't a berry cobbler and I was willing to do it. And anyway, we were fishing and we stayed all night and they had a campfire built and I was just having fun and enjoying myself. We had some snacks. I don't know what might have roasted some marshmallows. It was just a great time we were having and I went to sleep. And by the way, I love to preach on Sunday afternoon because you find out who's spiritual. Just realize that. I think we ought to give Christ the most spiritual person here. One stays awake the longest, you get the prize. Somebody said, if I didn't do good, they're going to get up and walk out. Have they left? Anybody left yet? I think so. I said somebody and go out the door. But anyway, I went to sleep, and I woke up, and it was dark. I hate to admit it, but I was afraid of the dark. There was no light. I said, "Dad, Dad, no Dad." And there's a couple other fellows with us, and I said, "John," or whoever, well, I believe it's John, and nobody answered. It's dark, and I panicked. I thought, "This is it. You're not coming back. I am hopelessly left here." I wouldn't know why God, or why, I don't know why God might, but, or could, my sins, but I thought maybe Dad wouldn't come back. I thought this was just a trick. No, I didn't think all that. But anyway, all of a sudden, I saw a light. And you thought that was the most beautiful light I'd ever seen. And then I heard a voice saying, "Willis, it's all right." And I want to tell you something. That's what God did when He saved me. He brought the light. He called me out of darkness into light. And I said, praise God. What an illustration that is, at least to me. When you're lost, it's awful. And when you wake up and know you're lost, you're miserable and you cry out, "What must I do to be saved?" like the jailer, or in some way express your feelings. Yes. So it's awful to be lost, but oh, to be found, how wonderful that is. And it's the grace of God that brings the life. It's the voice of God that quickens and makes alive. It's God's presence that gives us blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. And I was happy that I had been brought to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as we think about this morning, afternoon, evening, night, whatever time this is, I know several people have had trouble with that. I think our notes has night or day. Mine doesn't have anything. But we have to be saved by the grace of God because we're lost and nobody seeks after God. We can get up here and we can say whatever we want to, but no lost sinner will respond. They will join the church sometimes. They will be religious, but they're not in need of salvation. Beloved, the total depravity is a doctrine that demands all this other. And I thought about this a while ago. I was thinking about the doctrines of grace and how, like a train's hooked together and so forth. Somebody's probably already used this, but here they're all together. But you know what I thought about? When I was saved, one of them was disconnected. Total depravity. God's taking care of total depravity. I have the rest. Beloved, I want to tell you, when you come to know that you're lost and that God saves you by His grace, what an assurance that is. I believe get saved and get lost and get saved and get lost. But today I want us to think just for a moment about irresistible grace brings an experimental salvation. It really does happen. And in thinking about that, in Luke 2, you don't have to turn, verse 29, it tells us that Simeon saw God's salvation. That's what I want you to see afresh. We need to see God's salvation. If you want to be happy and content, you need to see God's salvation. It's all of God. Nothing left undone. It's irresistible grace. He is the author and finisher. In the beginning, God, not only the first creation, but the new creation and the new heavens and the new earth, it was all of God. In the beginning, God. If you don't start with God, your theology is totally wrong. It's in the beginning, God. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 29 through 32, tells us about the continuity of salvation. And I don't want to dwell on that because my time is going to run out briefly. But let's emphasize now, He saved us. He saved us. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. He saved us. Well, you know, that's what we ought to be telling people, beloved. He saved us. He saved us. A lot of people tell you what they believe. What in the world is wrong with us? He saved us. God saved me. And I want you to know that. I didn't save myself. God saved me. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us for the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So God saved us. And then in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 8, these are all familiar. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Who has saved us? And so there isn't any question today, beloved, that salvation is of the Lord. And that's what somebody preached about Jonah when he came out of the whale's belly. He was screaming, salvation is of the Lord. And we need to do that spiritually. Need to let people know that it was God that delivered us. I failed to write down this reference, but in the gospel it tells us that He calleth for thee. And when I read that, I thought, how amazing. Here's a man in great need, and he knows that it looks pretty hopeless. The Lord wouldn't take any notice of him. And Jesus said, you go tell him to come to me.
He calleth thee.
Aren't you glad God called? That was because His mercy He called. He called. God calls.
And that's also proven in many other places. Isaiah 55 tells us about the irresistible grace of God. Isaiah 55:11 says that the word of God will accomplish that whereunto God sent it. That's irresistible grace. God sent it. It's going to do something in spite of everybody. You can run from it. You can close up your ears. You can scream and argue and fight and fuss. But the word of God will accomplish what God sent it to accomplish. And sometimes I want to try to nudge it a little and help, you know, kind of help God a little bit and something. And God says, you better get out of here. Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So salvation is of the Lord. Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit. Beloved, I believe in the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. I believe that God and the Son of God and the Spirit of God work together in bringing us to pass our salvation. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, of course we read verse 13 quite a bit, and most of you, most preachers here would preach 14 too. But it says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now, a lot of people say that God chose to serve us, but not salvation. Through sanctification, spirit, and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel. Lord, I believe in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe God's sovereign. I believe He saves who He will, when He will, in His own good time, and in His own way. But I believe, Lord, we're responsible to preach the gospel the best we can to everybody we run into. Amen. As often as we can do that. It is the effectual power of God. Galatians chapter 3. This also is involved. Verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. I believe God wakes people up by the law of God. We hear a lot about putting up the Ten Commandments and all this, but people don't understand what that means. God's law is scary. Well, when the law was given, there was thundering and lightning and fire, and they both threw and looked on God, they'd have been killed immediately. Though the Ten Commandments was not given for us to live by, to be saved, it was given to make people realize they were sinners and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The law brings us to Christ. That's irresistible grace. God uses that in our salvation. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 3. Jeremiah. And I really don't know when I started, Brother Hobb. I'm getting close, I know that. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And so today, beloved, God is drawing. Wouldn't it be good if God would draw some lost sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ today? Do we expect that to happen? Probably not. Is there anybody here lost? I'm praying that God will, in His mighty power, come and use the gospel of the Lord Jesus and bring some lost sinner to salvation. That would really, really be wonderful if God does that. Then in Jeremiah chapter 24, give an example or two and I'll close. Jeremiah 24, verses 6 and 7. Talking God, for I will, I love this, for I will set mine eyes upon thee, or them for good. Know if thine grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give unto them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with all their heart. And I know that's talking about Israel and so forth. Beloved, I believe that's exactly what happens when a person is saved. That's the way God does it, for His honor and His glory. John 6:44, no man can come except the Father which has sent me, draw him. John 6:37 says that all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast him out. Now that's the irresistible grace of God that brings lost sinners unto salvation. John 10:16. John 10:16. Somebody go to sleep so I can give out the prize to somebody. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know what you're holding your eyes open with, but you're doing good. John 10:16. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. So that's irresistible grace. God's going to bring His people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be walking down the road to Damascus. You may be up in a sycamore tree. You may be in jail. You may be hid out somewhere, but God knows how to get to you. As we think about Luke 15, isn't that good? The shepherd sought the sheep and laid it on his shoulders and carried it back to the fold. And that's what Brother Howard is going to do to me, I think. So I'm going to sit down before we do.